In Philippians 2 and verse 5, Christians are admonished, "Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus." And as we read on in the New Testament, we find in several places that having the mind of Christ will lead us to obedience to God. On November 18, 1978, almost 1,000 American citizens, men, women, and children, died in a jungle commune in Guyana in South America. The children and some of the adults were murdered, then the rest, except for a few who fled into the jungle, committed suicide. Did these people have the mind of Christ, or were they following another mind? Their exit from this life followed within hours the killing of a U.S. congressman and a news reporter by members of the commune. The American news media, of course, as in all calamities they feel like reporting to the American people, had a field day with bold black headlines, eyewitness accounts, exposés, opinion statements, etc. Although a few admitted right from the first that the Reverend Jones was a Marxist socialist, that is a newspaper cover word for communist, the majority of the news writers kept referring to the colony as a religious cult, and many of them implied all of this insanity was a result of Christianity, or at least the result of religion. One cartoonist in a major U.S. newspaper drew a huge skull with the name Jonestown on it and a cross on top of the skull and people walking into its open mouth. The implication of the cartoon was obvious. Following the cross had led to death in Guyana. As the U.S. military carried on the grisly task of gathering up the bloated bodies for shipment back to the United States, newspapers, radio, television, and politicians began a chorus of demands for investigations of these religious cults. Some were named, the Moonies, Hare Krishna, and so on. It is possible, yes, even probable, that the left-wing press and left-wing politicians may use that Guyana incident to pass laws or write regulations which will be used to investigate and restrict some groups or organizations, probably legitimate Christian organizations, rather than the false cults. However, if the American people actually knew what the Bible itself teaches, there would be no problem with religious cults, not even with such people as Reverend Jones, who, while masquerading as a religious minister, actually expounded and propagandized for socialism and communism. We are going to discuss Jones and others like him, comparing his teachings and methods to the Bible. We will see how he used certain very effective mind control techniques to gain obedience and money from the people, and we will see whether there may be others in America using the same techniques. It is true that Reverend Jones was ordained by one of the large American church denominations, even endorsed by the wife of the President of the United States and by the Vice President of the United States. But those who had an acquaintance with the Reverend Jones and his methods should have known he was a communist long before he led his brainwashed followers to Guyana and death. Jones and his staff may have had some Bibles around. He even quoted out of it in his sermons. But his philosophy, his actions, his allegiances, and his treatment of his followers had little or no resemblance to Bible Christianity. Now, in this broadcast and the next, I am going to give you instruction from the Bible and clues from past history and present events so that you, yes, you radio listeners, whether you go to a church or whether you do not, will be able to recognize the methods used by men and organizations to put on a facade of religion, even of Christianity, when in truth their whole aim is to plunder and destroy Christians. For those who still don't know that Jones and his entourage were communists, let me read from a UPI report dated December 18, 1978. That would be a month after the murders and suicides. Headline, People's Temple left $7 million to Soviets. The article goes on to reveal that the Reverend Jim Jones directed that more than $7 million of the People's Temple money be left to the Soviet Communist Party. And it said that prior to the mass suicides and murders of November 18th, Jones had begun negotiations with the communist government in Russia to move his whole commune to Russia. It is now apparent that had not the U.S. congressman made his investigative trip to Guyana, that the Jonestown colony would have continued to receive hundreds of Social Security and welfare checks from America each month, and most of that money would have been siphoned off to the Russian Communist Party while the inhabitants of Jonestown continued to live in fear and poverty. All right, if you have your Bibles and a pencil and paper, I am going to list a number of things which the Reverend Jones said, or which he did, in other words, the methods he used to obtain such blind allegiance from his followers. Some of these things you may recognize as being used by other men and women in America who also use religion as a cover to rob and plunder the people. First, let me explain the true attitude of communists toward religion. The average American who knows little or nothing about communism thinks the communists would like to close immediately all churches in America because they have been told that communism is opposed to religion. They've heard the utterances of the communists somewhat in this manner, quote, "We communists are atheists. We are opposed to all religions and consider them superstitions from which man must be freed," end of quote, and similar statements. Many have heard Karl Marx, the founder of modern communism, as saying, quote, "Religion is the opiate of the people." They think from that statement that Karl Marx was opposed to all religions. Many anti-communists will quote that statement from Marx and say, see, Marx hated religion. But let's read that statement over again and analyze what Karl Marx was really saying when he said, religion is the opiate of the people. What does an opiate do to a human being? Most of you know, it affects the brain. It dulls the man's mental faculties, even puts him to sleep if enough is administered. When Karl Marx said, religion is the opiate of the people, he was really telling his communist comrades, religion can be used to put the people to sleep. Did you understand what I just said? Karl Marx said, quote, religion is the opiate of the people. He knew what he meant, although most Americans misunderstand. He was saying, we can use religion to put the people to sleep so they cannot function intelligently, and they will be easier for us communists to conquer them. Now, if I am correct in my interpretation of Karl Marx's statement, what should we expect communists to be doing in America, the nation they are trying to conquer? Would they be bombing churches and assassinating ministers? Or would they instead be going into the ministry, becoming ministers themselves, to use religion and the pulpit to lull America to sleep with the false strains of an opiate religion? Obviously, the answer is the latter. Now, the Reverend Jim Jones ran a church. He pretended to be teaching his people religious principles, but the end result was their acceptance of communist principles. And at the same time, enough malfunction of their minds that they turned over to Jones their money and property and obeyed when Jones told them to kill their children and commit suicide. What strange and awful power did the Reverend Jones have over the minds of his followers? What methods did he use to obtain that power? And if Jones could do it, is it possible there are other reverends in America who are also using these same methods to gain power over other unknowing Americans? You stay with me, and we will see. God's Word warns us men would come into the Christian churches with the intended purpose of destroying Christians and Christianity. Jude verses 3 and 4. We are told, ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Crept in unaware into what? Obviously, into the church itself. Otherwise, why the warning? 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 2 Peter verses 1 through 3, and you listen to this carefully. If you don't have your Bible in front of you now, write down 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Peter writes, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets among you, who privily, and that means quietly or secretly, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they, in other words, these false prophets, shall they, with feigned words, make merchandise of you. They will bring upon themselves destruction. Many will follow them, and because of them, the real truth of the Bible will be evil spoken of, and with feigned words, that means with lies and pretense, they will make merchandise of the people. They will rob the people while they are preaching to help them. And where would they do this? They would do it among the Christian people. And I could quote a score more in the New Testament, some of which I'll read later as we go on in this study. But now let me begin to analyze what it was the so-called Reverend Jim Jones did, and you see if you recognize how the same thing may be or could be used by others. And I'll number these as we go along. Number one, Jones claimed he had knowledge or power beyond that of his listeners. In the beginning of his ministry, he said he had direct revelations from God. How often do you hear a man say, God spoke to me and told me? Or he says, I had a vision from God and he said. And then he'll outline some great project which God has supposedly assigned him personally, and of course you are expected to contribute, otherwise you wouldn't be helping God, would you? Now we have a classic case in the Bible of a man to whom God really did speak directly, the Apostle Paul. And yet Paul was not believed by the other apostles or other Christians until he had proved himself and until they had checked out what he taught with the Word of God to see if it matched God's Word. In Acts 9, after Saul's miraculous confrontation with Jesus on the road to Damascus, we read in verse 26 And this is Acts 9. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. Verse 27 and 28. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. Saul had to be vouched for by another approved disciple, and he had to give his testimony and preach the word which they were then able to examine and compare. How many we hear of now who preach visions, dreams, revelations, and miracles, and our deluded people accept them with little question. The disciples of Jesus and the early Christians were not so gullible. In Acts 17, verses 10 and 11, we are told where Paul came to Berea to preach, and that these people there searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. In other words, they did not believe what Paul said unless they checked it with the Bible. If it agreed with the Bible, then they believed him. Let's be wary of those who claim special visions or revelations. Check them out with the Word of God. Number two, Jones insisted his followers call him Father, Master, or Reverend. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 8 to his disciples, But be ye not called Rabbi, and the word Rabbi means teacher or master, for one is your Master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Christians, including ministers, are brothers and sisters. None are fathers or masters. There is no record in the early church of Christians calling preachers Father, Master, or Rabbi. He also used the title Reverend, which according to Psalm 111 and verse 9 is a name for God, and nowhere is it given in the Bible for any man. Now don't go out and say that Pastor Emery said that any man who uses the title Reverend is a false prophet. I didn't say that. The title Reverend has come into such common use that most ministers don't even know they should not use it. So you'll have to excuse some of these things as being done out of ignorance. I am listing a number of things, no one of which would label a man a false prophet and a deceiver, except out of ignorance, but if he practices several or all of them, then you had better go to your Bible and check out his doctrine before you give him your allegiance, support, or money. The third one. The Reverend Jones was a spellbinding preacher, and it appears some followed him because of the power of his oratory. The Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached a mighty sermon, following a startling miracle in which all of the listeners heard the disciples' words in their own languages. Verse 37 of Acts 2 says, His listeners were pricked in their hearts, so they must have been greatly affected by Peter's preaching. They asked him, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now here is the place where a false minister would answer, in some manner, Follow me, join my group, and I will lead you to such and so. But Peter, a true minister of God, answered, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What was the first word Peter answered? Repent, be sorry for disobeying God, and turn and obey Him, and receive the Holy Ghost. False ministers will use the emotion of the moment to prompt the affected ones not to repent, but to make some sort of a commitment to the minister or to his organization, no matter how tenuous at that moment. The words used, the phrases spoken, the literature given, will convince the individual that whatever good he thinks he now has found came to him because of the minister. And he will be made to feel emotionally and morally obligated to somehow repay that minister or that organization with money, with his presence, or with his works. The Reverend Jones was successful in this with only a handful of people, probably a few thousand at the time of the suicides and murders. However, even that handful had brought to him several millions of dollars and their almost total allegiance to him. To sum up, number three, oratory and emotion are combined to bring a conscious or subconscious subservience to the speaker, not to God. Paul and Peter and James and John and all great ministers in Christendom always taught subservience only to Christ and always preach repentance of sin and obedience to God's laws. God willing, next week we will continue this study of how men masquerading as ministers gain control over people in order to rob them. Next week I will read an excerpt from a book written over 50 years ago which taught men how to use religion to do just exactly what the Reverend Jim Jones did. As you begin to understand what it is they do, you will see there are many in America who are using those techniques. They are not Christians. They are masquerading as Christians to make merchandise of the people. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.